Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Morning, everybody, and welcome to our next message in the Sunday School series. And as we said previously, really, we don't know what your background is in terms of Sunday school. Maybe you went to Sunday school and it was fantastic. It was like the One Church Kids Sunday school and you've had a phenomenal time. Maybe you never went at all and you've only really got perhaps what the media tells you Sunday school might be like. Or maybe something in the middle. My first real and kind of only real memory of Sunday school is when we moved house. My mum took me to a new church, said, "You want to come along?" I was about 7 or 8 at the time. And do you want to come out to Sunday school? So I went to the church and we sang a couple of songs. And then this lady approached me with a bit of an excessive smile and said, "Would you like to come into another hall with me?" I was, okay, I'll go along. I thought I can handle myself if this goes bad. We went into this back hall and as if by magic, all the other children just instantly ran to these shelves and got something off the shelves. And the Sunday school teacher just said, "So which Airfix model would you like to do?" That was it. I had to pick an Airfix model, which, if you know me, kind of doing anything like remotely handy skilled is not my thing, particularly when I was 7 or 8 years old, and make an Airfix model of an aeroplane or something like that. I think I only went the once. And that was my memory of Sunday school. Nevertheless, perhaps they did try and teach me some stories along the way, and I'm sure you would have heard some of the stories. And today's event is all about Daniel and the lion's den. So the basic message, as you would have heard already, is there's a guy who's been told not to pray. He carries on praying, and so his punishment for ignoring the instruction is you're going to get thrown into a den of lions, but he miraculously escapes, and that's fantastic. So the basic moral of the story is if you honor God, he won't let you down, he'll rescue you, etc. It's not always true. What? Andy, you can't say that. Well, it isn't always true. And you take the persecuted church, you take people who are really passionately living out their faith, like Daniel did, and sadly, they don't always get rescued. Their stories don't end up very well. Take the 12 disciples. Well, Judas kind of took care of himself, if you know what I mean. But of the 11 remaining disciples, it's widely reported that 10 of them were martyred for their faith. It doesn't always play out that if you stick to God and you pray to him, then a rescue will happen at the end. There must be more to this story.
You see, Jesus never promises us a problem-free life. In actual fact, in John 16:33, he says to expect problems, expect difficulties, expect adversity. You know, when a construction team or road team is going to be doing a lot of roadworks, that they put signs up saying, look, expect this to be difficult. This isn't going to be easy. There is going to be delays. There's going to be frustrations. There's going to be sometimes lack of understanding even. But there is a solution the other side. They are working towards something. And it's the same with us. We actually do need to expect that to some degree in our Christian lives. But Jesus is just saying, please, in that, have faith in the adversity. You're not going to have freedom from it. And trust that one day it will be better. This will work out. And maybe you'll never see it. Maybe I'll never see what this road looks like at the end of it. But it's just trusting that it's there for a reason. It's got to be for a reason. It's got to play out in the end. And maybe we'll only even find out in eternity. But trust in God. Have faith in adversity. Not necessarily freedom from it.
So, when they were recounting this story, they would have followed the classic Jewish storytelling style. They maybe would have sat outdoors, gathered round, let me tell you this story, everyone would be listening, the cows would be listening. And their aims would be this, really to elevate their faith, to help them understand the ethics of the story, but also to inspire action.
So let me give you the story. Let me tell you the story, the background of the story. The Israelites, who were God's chosen people, a bit like the Christians of the Old Testament, they've been captured by the Babylonians. They've been taken into captivity. And they've been forced to live a life they didn't want to live. Most succumbed to this pressure. Most conformed to the pattern of the world they were living in. They clearly hadn't read Romans chapter 12. Well, they clearly hadn't, because it hadn't been written yet. But you see what I mean? They gave in. They just lived what they were told to live. But Daniel was different. And a few of his friends were different as well. We read about them in chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. They also didn't conform. They also wanted to stick true to their God. They didn't want to bow down to this 90-foot high statue. And we're talking at least double the height of that tree. They didn't conform. So their consequence was that they'd be thrown into this fiery furnace. And if we know that story, they survived and it was miraculous. And it was like Jesus was literally with them in the fire as well. But interestingly, Daniel's not in that story. It's in the book of Daniel, which Daniel wrote. And yet he wasn't there. So I wonder why he wasn't also chosen to be thrown into the fire. Maybe they didn't find out about him. Maybe at that time he kept himself quiet. Maybe he knew that was happening to his friends and he thought, I can't stand up and admit that. Perhaps we'll never know. But Daniel, either way, would have heard about this story. He would have heard about how his friends experienced faith in, not freedom from, the fire. Faith in, not freedom from, adversity. And this is key. And this is the key message I want you to have today. And I think God wants us to have. He wants us to have faith in adversity, not necessarily freedom from adversity. Because we can read the part where Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego say, look, you know, our God can rescue us. But even if he does not, and they still declared their faith, their trust in God, that God knows best. That's not a lack of faith. That's actually complete faith. That we trust God even if it doesn't pan out the way we're hoping and desperately want it to. Faith in, not freedom from, adversity. So the question is, what is our Babylon? What is or has tried to block or prevent or hinder us from living big for Jesus? Some things aren't necessarily bad. Some things are good for us. But maybe just our focus is too much on these things and it's taking us away from really helping us to focus our time on Jesus. You know, for me, we're away on holiday at the minute, and it's been a nice holiday. And one of the nice things about this is that we've kind of hardly got any signal here. No Wi-Fi. What on earth? This would be the kids' worst nightmare. But actually, it's like being on flight mode permanently, really. And I've actually just found this enabled me to read so much more, take more things in which are good for me, reading Christian books, just taking that time to really focus without all the distractions. And I know that's holiday, and we can't necessarily always maintain that, but actually it's made me just check myself and my balance on my time and my focus. Daniel was arrested for treason. The charge was praying. He's praying to his God. I thought, wow, if I was arrested for that, would there be enough evidence to convict me? You know, George Muller was a man of prayer, as everyone knows, prayed unbelievably and saw fantastic miracles happen in not just his life, but the lives of the orphans that he was looking after. But he also had a little prayer list of five people that he was praying for regularly, that he would desire and long for and pray that they would find faith in Jesus. After 5 years, one of them became a Christian. After 10 years, number two and number three also became Christians. After 25 years, the fourth one became a Christian. It wasn't till 52 years later that the fifth one became a Christian. And that was after he'd already died. He never got to know that. And perhaps we will never see the answer to our prayers. But it doesn't mean to say they won't happen. It doesn't mean to say that we should give up. Let's be persistent in prayer, like Daniel was, no matter what we're being told, no matter what circumstances looking like George Muller was. He just kept going.
Daniel would have prayed for lots of alternative solutions to that. I'm sure when he heard the edict, the rule saying you are not allowed to pray, and he thought, well, if I do this, then God will rescue me. Maybe God will block the ears of the people around so they won't hear me praying. Didn't happen. And then, of course, he would have been captured. I thought maybe at this point he would have knew about all the Old Testament stories. Maybe all my captors will just kind of fall down dead or something. Didn't happen. And then maybe when he got to the edge of the lion's den, he would have thought at this point maybe they will break all their kind of massive chunks of wood that they're going to use to move this stone away for me to be thrown into. No, didn't happen. Daniel would have had lots of ways that God could have answered his prayer, which didn't happen. Maybe his final thought was literally as he's being thrown into the pit, then maybe all these lions will already be dead down here and that's God's way of rescuing me. He would have landed and instantly known those lions were not dead. Daniel, I'm sure, would have had lots of plan A's for how God could answer his prayer. But he maintained his faith in adversity. He didn't necessarily experience freedom from it. He was thrown into certain death. But actually, the next morning, early in the morning, a stone was rolled away and he came out alive. Sound familiar?
Of course it sounds familiar. It's Jesus. Jesus was thrown into the pit, presumed dead, but early the next morning, he rose alive, victorious. And thinking of Jesus, this story of Daniel reminds me of the story of Jairus found in Mark chapter 5. And again, I won't go into the whole story now, you can read it for yourself. But this is an amazing story of a guy whose daughter is desperately ill. He comes to Jesus, does the right thing, puts his faith in Jesus. Jesus says, yes, I'm going to come and I'm going to come make her better. But along the way, Jesus seemingly to Jairus gets distracted, stops, heals a woman, which is fantastic as well. But that all takes some time. And then by the time Jesus has done that, people come and say to Jairus, sorry, like, leave Jesus alone. It's too late. Your daughter has died. Wow, I can't imagine how that would feel. You know, you've kind of done the right thing. You've put your faith in Jesus, and it's not panned out as you thought. Very similar to Daniel. And yet, of course, we now know the end of the story, that Jesus still goes and the daughter is made well. But there's still that idea remains. He promises us and encourages us to have faith in adversity, not necessarily freedom from it. He actually says to Jairus in verse 36, don't be afraid, just believe. And we can imagine Daniel hearing that voice as well as he was praying, maybe as he was on the edge of that pit of lions. Don't be afraid. Just believe. You know, for Daniel, it would have been very easy. It was only a 30-day decree. It was only a 30-day rule to just not pray. Daniel could have ridden it out. He could have made a deal with God. Look, I'll just take a little 30-day spiritual sabbatical, and then I can carry on as normal. But actually, no. He had faith that God can land the impossible. And even if he does not, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, but even if he doesn't, faith that his bigger purposes are at work. Faith in his providence. Faith that he remains sovereign despite the rule and the rules of man. Faith that perhaps your plan B was actually God's plan A all along. Faith that knowing him is better than knowing why. Faith that perhaps today's adversity is tomorrow's anecdote. Imagine what Daniel would have said afterwards on his WhatsApp group to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Guys, check this out. Check what happened. A little selfie with the lion. Wow, what an anecdote that would be. Or doing some kind of TikTok dance about the lion sleep tonight. I don't know. But he would have a story to tell on the end of it. And sometimes things don't pan out the way we want. But have faith in, not necessarily freedom from, the adversity. Get rid of the distractions. Be persistent in prayer. And have faith, choose to have faith in adversity. So who knows how this week is going to go for you, for me, but the message of today, hopefully you've gathered, is from the stories of Daniel, from Jairus, from Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, that he wants you to stick with him, continue to have faith. Things may not go smoothly. You may end up going the wrong way, down a wrong path, but have faith in him that he knows what he's doing. And yes, the miraculous may happen, but even if it does not, he could be growing you to live big. Have a great week.